morning. It's really good to see you all. What kind of week have you had? It has been a little bit on the wet side. But, you know, as we reflect on our lives, sometimes we can be disappointed. Have you ever had that feeling? Or is it just me? It's just me. I thought it would be, yeah. Sometimes we can, because we talk about God in our lives, we talk about the reality of Him living within us, and sometimes when we reflect, we kind of go, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have gone there, I shouldn't have watched that, and we can feel really disappointed with ourselves. But God doesn't want to live in us to live in that disappointment. I was thinking about, you know, sometimes we feel that we're not Christians because we behaved in a certain way. And so we go, we've disqualified ourselves really because of our behaviour. God obviously has now separated me from His love and His grace and He's put me on one side. And that's how we can feel in the natural. But I was thinking about the Queen because and the royal family. It doesn't matter what they do, they are still the royal family. It doesn't matter how they behave, they are still royalty. It's part of who they are. And as Christians, as believers, our behaviour might not be good, but we are still sons and daughters of the living God. And so if you're disappointed in yourself this morning, God isn't. We talked about the power of his love. We sang about that this morning. It's really important that we understand the power of His love to bring grace and forgiveness into our lives, to bring the power of God into us so that we overcome those things that we sometimes get disappointed with. It calls it in the Bible a besetting sin. The things that we so easily fall at, God understands that. He said He's tempted in every point as we are. He understands the way we think and the way we behave, but He came to save us that we might be His children. So don't be disappointed in yourself. Make a resolve in your heart to include Him next time you face that temptation. We sang some great songs this morning, haven't we? Brilliant, awesome songs. And I was just thinking through the week, because I can't think in new songs, right? I'm too old for that. Whenever I start singing, it's usually something from about 50 years ago. And I was thinking about, because I'm talking about power this morning, and there's a song there, is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Because He has been to Calvary and He has overcome sin and the power of death in our lives. He has overcome it. There is power in the blood, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to set us free. And the songs we've sung this morning, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free. You are free from the guilt and the shame of sin. You are free from the power of sin in your lives. He has set you free. But then there's another song we sang. It says, as you live in me. So we've got to have God living in us to be set free sometimes. Sometimes we choose the road of bondage and we go down that way because we haven't got Him living in me. And so part of our discipline, part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, is maintaining that communication with Him so He is living in us. Because when He's living in us, then He brings the power that we need for life and for godliness. So I want to touch on some things this morning. I want to reflect a little bit on last week because I know some weren't here and I know who you are. Okay. Derek asked me last week who's speaking. And then he said, I'm going. As I stood up to preach, he went. But he did tell me why. But so there'll be some here this week that weren't here last week. I just want to reflect quickly on power, because everything that we're talking about, everything that we are singing about, everything that we are declaring is useless and hopeless unless there is any power and authority behind the words that we are using. And so we look at 1 Corinthians 4:20. And this is a recurring kind of theme with the Apostle Paul. He says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. But of power. We don't just want to talk about it. We don't just want to sing about it. We want to experience the power of God in our lives. When we get together, we want to experience the power of God working in us and through us. Otherwise, we are just talk. And that is a criticism so often laid at the church, that they're just all talk and no action. We want to see the power of God behind everything that we do. I was listening in the week to Radio 4, because I'm that type of person. And there was a comedian on, and he was talking and reflecting on his life with religion. And straight away he declared he was an atheist. So he was kind of not making fun of religion, but he was drawing out some humorous thoughts about what religion does. And then he kind of declared that he was, as a boy, he was in a church choir, and he really enjoyed that. And he was singing all the hymns that they sing. But then he left the church because he'd heard a lot, but not experienced the power of God. And we can go to church, and this is this church as well. We're not pointing the finger at any other churches, but we can come to church. We can hear the words, but it has no impact in our lives. We need an encounter with the power of the living God. We need sometimes God to break into our lives in a dynamic and powerful way. We need to have an encounter with him. And that's one of our values here, isn't it? And we talk about it an awful lot, that we want to have an encounter with God. It's part of our daily existence. It's part of our coming together, that we want an encounter with God. We want God to demonstrate his power. And I was reminded, just as I was thinking about the encounter that Elijah had on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal, where the children of Israel were, they didn't know what to believe in. And Elijah was having this conversation with him. Are you going to choose God? Are you going to choose Baal? Come on, make your mind up. You know, whatever you put your mouth to, let's see some action. Put your faith and trust in something. But at the moment, you're not doing anything. And he had this encounter on Mount Carmel with 450 prophets of Baal, where they were going to both sacrifice to their God. So the prophets of Baal, they were allowed to go first. And they built an altar, they put the sacrifice on it, which was a bull, and they prayed and shouted and beat themselves for hour after hour after hour. Nothing happened. And Elijah moved them to one side and said, right, let me go. And he did the same. He built his altar, he poured water on it, he covered it to make sure that there was no chance that it was just something that was going to happen. He soaked his sacrifice with water, and he called down from heaven, and immediately, the power of God was released, and he burnt up the sacrifice. The power of God was demonstrated. And the children of Israel immediately said, the Lord is our God. A demonstration of the power of God turns our heart and our eyes to him. The Lord is our God. And I don't know who your God is this morning, but you may need to experience the power of God released so that you can go, the Lord is my God. Because it's so easy to forget. I've already talked about the power of the blood, the power of Jesus, because he died for us. He rose again. He overcame the power of sin and death. And it tells us this in Corinthians. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God brings salvation. It brings that revelation of our need for him in our lives. It brings that revelation that he can overcome those things in us that are just destroying us. The power of God to save. He saves us from sin to this glorious life. He doesn't just save us from sin. There is more to our salvation, I think, than what we give God credit for. He died that we might be saved, but also that we might have a power-driven life. He has got the power to save. He's got supernatural power. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. There is a supernatural, so that means there is a natural power, but what we're talking about here is something that is greater than our natural power. These are the things that we cannot do on our own. We need something of the power of God in us. And if we want to bear fruit in our lives, then it's not our power, but it is a supernatural power that works in us to bring to fruition those good things that God places on our hearts. So there is a supernatural power in God. There is a miraculous power. Sometimes we limit the power of God to miracles. But thank God that miracles are a reality and are available through his power. And we're just going to talk about that for a little while. Maybe you need a miracle in your life. So a miracle is something that cannot be done in the natural. We go, it's a miracle. And very often we hear stories of miraculous things because they are things that just cannot happen on their own. But something intervenes. The power of God intervenes and brings a miracle. Now we can have kind of miracles when your children clean the bedroom and things like that. You go, it's a miracle. Or they do something and you go, whoa, what's going on here? That's not natural, is it? But we're talking about something a little bit greater than that. We're talking about God intervening in the natural world and bringing something miraculous. If you read the story of Jesus, he lived in this place, didn't he? He lived in this place where the kingdom of heaven was demonstrated on earth, where for Jesus, miracles were his natural place to be. That's where he lived. He lived in the power of God to bring the miraculous. Everywhere he went, he demonstrated the power of God. And often they acted as a pointer to the reality of God for those who don't yet believe. Like that comedian who I was talking about before, if he had a power encounter with God where he saw the miraculous power of God, maybe he would begin to think about God a little bit differently. Maybe. And maybe if we believed and put our faith in him for the miraculous, we would also view God in a different way. I think the miracles are not something to be attained. They are a gift from God. But we've got to get ourselves in a place where we're actually believing for those things. Jesus spent hours seeking, talking to his Father. See, the power that Jesus demonstrated was the power of the Father. It comes from God. It is his power, not our power. Miracles bring glory to God, not the person who was used. And God's power can be imparted to us. That's what the Bible teaches. And sometimes we so easily are overcome by our own thinking. Because miracles go beyond our understanding and go beyond our natural ability. And we've got to put our trust in our God. Maybe you need something that is supernaturally miraculous this morning. What God is saying is it's possible. It is possible. It is imparted. And Jesus, Jesus in Mark, and this is a well-known story, and somebody touched him, and at once Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. He turned round to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" So power is something that comes in and flows out. It's not something that we retain. And so in terms of the miraculous, it's imparted by God and it is given out. It's not something that we hold on to. Through the power of love, through the power of the blood, it brings miraculous power. There is an authority that Jesus had that was powerful as well. Because very often power and authority, we use those words together. So Jesus was not only powerful, but he had an authority as well. And it says this in Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. That's a big word, all. But he said, it's been given to me in heaven and on earth. I have authority over everything. That's a powerful, powerful statement. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. The authority that Jesus had, he was giving to his disciples that they may go. So this authority that God gave to Jesus, I have authority over everything in heaven and earth, I'm giving to you now. Now go. So there is a responsibility on those that believe, on us as believers, to live in this authority. We have authority over the enemy. We have authority over many things. And we have to go and display our authority. And you will know when you go out of this place into your family, into the workplace, with your friends, colleagues, wherever you go, that they need an authority in their lives that is greater than what is on this earth. Jesus has authority over everything. In Colossians it says this, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So this is another theme that runs through the New Testament, that he is the head over every power. And so when we are going to Jesus, when we are praying to him, when we are asking him, he is the number one. He has power and authority over everything. We don't need to look anywhere else. He's our go-to person. He's our go-to God. He gives us power to overcome. It says this, doesn't it, in 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So the weapons we fight with. So when we're talking about we're talking about us, you and I. We're not fighting with the weapons of this world. There is another world that we can't see, but it tells us in the Bible it's more real, actually, than this world. But the weapons that we have been given through the authority of Jesus Christ have divine power to demolish. Have you ever seen anything that's been demolished? There's not usually a lot left of it. To demolish strongholds. And the strongholds can be in our lives. Anybody that's been through the Freedom in Christ course will understand what a stronghold is in our lives. Very often it is somewhere where the enemy has kind of got camp. He's got a base camp in our lives. And when we try to move away from it, it pulls us back. When we try to live the Christian life, it just seems to just be something that is weighing heavy in our hearts and in our lives, and we don't seem to be able to break free from it. Well, this morning I'm reminding you that through Jesus Christ, we have the power to demolish strongholds. If you have a stronghold in your life this morning, I'm reminding you that through Jesus Christ, there is power to demolish it. Jesus had power over the spirit world. It says this in Luke 4. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words are these? With authority and power he gives in order to impure spirits, and they come out." Jesus demonstrated his power everywhere he went. And that's another recurring theme through the New Testament. When Jesus is going into situations, the enemy always raised his head. The enemy was always standing against. The enemy was always trying to break into people's lives. And Jesus demonstrated his power and authority over the spirit world. There's power to heal. Luke 5:17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal those who were ill. So there is power in God to bring healing. Here we're talking about physical healing. And again, everywhere Jesus went, he lived in this place of miracles where healing was brought. It's what Jesus did. It's what he demonstrated. He demonstrated the power of his love because he had compassion. He demonstrated the power of God by praying for people and seeing them heal. It says in Luke 9, it says this, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. The disciples have been in training. They've been learning. They've been experiencing living with Jesus and just seeing this stuff just happening in front of them. And sometimes I just put myself in that place where you think, what would it have been like to be one of the disciples of Jesus? And I would imagine it would be mind-blowing. It would be exciting. It would almost be beyond comprehension to see the things that Jesus did. And then there came a point where he said to them, it's your turn now. You go. I'm giving you power and authority to overcome evil spirits and cure all diseases. We want to live in that place. It's available. It's real. The kingdom of God just isn't words. There's got to be a demonstration of his power. And it's great to come together and sing. Somebody who came here a few months ago was explaining our Sunday morning service to his wife, and it's quite interesting. He said, yeah, it's really good. They get together, they have a bit of a sing-song. And then somebody talks for a bit, and then they pray, and then they have a... We want more than a sing-song. When we're worshipping God, we know it's not a sing-song. It's not just words. You can go to a concert and sing words, can't you? But we're trying to engage with the living God because we want to experience his power amongst us. There is power for provision through Jesus. And this is a scripture that I love and we talk about so much. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The power of God has given us everything we need. And it talks in the authorized, it says, for life and for godliness. So he brings provision for life. And sometimes we can be in a place where we just need God to provide something for us. We need physical provision. Maybe you're in that place this morning. The Bible's telling us that he's given us everything that we need for this life. I suppose the key word there is need, not want, but he gives us what we need on a daily basis. Our Father who art in heaven, give me this day what? My daily bread, the thing I need to get through, the thing I need to make it through, not just by the skin of my teeth, but in abundance, because he came to give us life in abundance. And for a godly life. See, the Christian life, when we read about it, looks quite difficult. And I would say that unless we're living in the power of God, it's almost impossible. So through the Holy Spirit, he empowers us to live a godly life. In other words, to live like a Christian. Because the challenge of living like a Christian is that it's different than living like somebody in our community and in our world. The power of God is needed for us to do some of the things that God wants us to do, because in the natural we can't. And that's why people fail when they come to church and they're trying to live a Christian life. They're trying to be good. They're trying to engage with God. But they're doing it on their own terms. And what Jesus is saying is that I've come to give you power to live a Christian life. I'm not leaving you on your own just to sort of scrabble through. I'm empowering you to live as a Christian. And maybe you're struggling with your Christian life this morning. Well, God is reminding you that he's empowered you to be a Christian. He's bringing power into your life to be a Christian. Absolutely needed. We can't do it on our own. He will expose the things that need to be exposed so that he can deal with them. He will empower you to deal with the temptation of sin. He will remind you that if there is any strongholds in your life, he has got the power to demolish it. He wants to be living in our lives and empowering us to be Christians. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he was saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the work and the ministry and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will empower you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. We are empowered to be his witnesses. And I've been on witnessing courses, how to be a witness. I suppose we've all done that, really. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we don't need classes. We don't need to go be trained, because his power equips us and enables us to be witnesses everywhere we go. Because when we're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be a testimony. We will be a witness to the power of the living God. We don't have to say anything. We don't have to do anything. We just have to be who we are in God, and it will be a witness to those around us. I suppose the greatest power is the power of love. Everything may fail, tells us, doesn't it, in 1 Corinthians 13. Everything may pass away, everything may fail, but love never fails. And there is a power in that where it drove Jesus to the cross, the power of love. He sacrificed his life that he could empower us to be his witnesses, to live in this empowered life where the enemy has got no hold on us. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We want to live in the power of God. Finish there. But I do think, I just want to give opportunity for people just to kind of contemplate on that.